Now we're holding on page 28 in Psachim Ois Lamed. We learned in the Mishnah last time about the Seder of how the Korban Pesach was brought. It said you had three kittos, three groups of people. The Gemara ends up learning from Sukkim how we know that, well, actually the Mishnah itself says that there have to be three because it's Kahala Das Yisrael, and each of those refers to a group. So then the Mishnah had mentioned that when each group comes in and the Azara is filled up, then the doors would be closed. So Itmar, Abaya Omen Nin Olin Tanan. Abaya learned that the Mishnah is saying Nin Olin, the doors were closed by themselves. So not that, meaning that it was a Mice and Nissin, that the doors were closed. Verava Omen Noyolin Tanan. Rava says it means that means somebody would lock them, the Mamunim, the Koyanim, or whoever it was in charge, would close the doors. So B'mai Kamitli, what's the underlying machlokas? The Mismach HaNisa. The question is, are we Somech on a Ness? The problem is, what happens if everybody ends up coming in the first group and there aren't enough people left for the other two groups? So are we going to be Somech on a Ness that it'll never happen, that too many people will come in the first time and there won't be anybody left? So Marasava, Kama De'ayi Neil. Abaya holds, let as many as want come in. The Samchinan Anissa, we can rely on the Ness that Hashem will make sure the doors are closed at the right time so that there'll still be enough people for the other two groups. Or Marasava, like Samchinan Anissa, whereas Rava says, we don't want to rely on that, and therefore we have to have people in charge of their tactic close the doors when they deem that enough people have come in for the first group to make sure that there are enough people left for the second and third groups. So the point, primarily we're talking about the nest would be, we're going to talk about in a minute, that there was a nest that nobody was ever crushed in the Azara despite the number of people, but primarily the nest we're talking about is that it shouldn't happen that everybody ends up going in the first time and there's nobody left for the second group and the third group. After all, everybody's eager to do the mitzvah. So you could, if you left the doors open, conceivably everybody might come in at the beginning and then later on there won't be enough people for the other groups. So Rabbi is saying you can't rely on a nest. You have to make sure that at some point somebody closes the doors to make sure that there are enough people left for the other groups. Which, of course, usually we're in some kind of a nest, but Yom Yaakov points out, this is the Beis Hamikdash we're talking about. It's a place full of nisim anyhow, so Abaya takes the view, so what's one more nest? Okay. So Vahaditnan, now we learn in a Mishnah in Adias, which also mentions this closing of the doors. So the Mishnah describes over there how Akavya ben Mahalalel disagreed with the other Chachamim of his generation on three different halachas, and one of them, we learned this in Brachas as well, he expressed himself in a way which the Chachamim considered disrespectful to Shmaya and Atalia. There was a question about whether a Giyoris or a Shivcha Meshachreris can drink the Mei Soita. He held that no, the other Chachamim held yes. So, and when they tell him that didn't Shmaya and Atalia one time give a Giyoris, Shivcha Meshachreris, the Soita water to drink, so he expressed himself in a way, he said, Dugma Ishkua, different explanations among the Mephoshim, what he meant by that exactly, but the bottom line is they considered it to be a lack of Derech Eretz for Shmaya and Atalia. And so the Mishnah says that they put him in Nidu. So now, Omer of Yehuda, but Rav Yehuda says, you have the story wrong. Chas v'sholem sha'akavim ben mahalal misnadeh. Chas v'sholem to say that akavim ben mahalal was put in midu. She'en azorin in elas al-kol on b'yisrael b'chochmo v'yirascheh ka'akavim ben mahalal. When the doors of the Azorah would be closed, there was nobody in there who was as great as Akavya ben Mahalalel in Chochmah and in Yiraschet. And rather, Rabbi Yehuda said to the other Chachamim, there was somebody else who lived at that time who was Mezalzim in the Tum of Fak between the Tos Yadayim, and they put him in Nidui, and you were thinking that it was Akavya ben Mahalalel. So what's this expression, Shinin Elos, I'll call Adam Yisrael? So Rava Matarit Satai Mei. So Rava is going to explain, so Abaya Matarit Satai Mei, but Rava Matarit Satai Mei. Both Abaya and Rava, who have the respective opinions, who is it that closed the doors? Was it that it was done by Derech Ness, or was it that one of them, that the Mimunim did it? Each one of them will explain the wording in the Mishnah according to his Chavar. Abaya Matarit Satai Mei, Ein Ba'azara B'shah Shinin Elos, Al-Kol Adam B'Yisrael, when the gates of the Azara were closed, Min HaShemayim, in behind all people in Yisrael who are coming there for that group of the Korban Pesach, B'Chochma, B'Yirascheh, there was nobody there who had Chochma and Yirascheh, Ka'akavi ben Mahalal. Rav Matarit Satai Mei, and Rav explains it according to his Shitta, Ein Ba'Azara B'Shosh and Noel and Oysal for Yisrael, when they would close the doors behind all the Yisrael who were in there, there was nobody, B'Chochma, B'Yirascheh, Ka'akavi ben Mahalal. Either way, though, Marshall points out elsewhere on this Mishnah in Adius, it's a funny way of saying it. Why not just say there was nobody greater in Chochmah and Yireschet than Akavid ben Mahalal? Why this odd way of saying it for Shal Shazor and in Ellis? And he says, because after all, at the time, you had the Nossi and the Avestin as well. You're not going to say he exceeded them in Chochmah and Yireschet, but we're saying there have to be three groups. So therefore, fine. In the group that he was in, there was nobody greater in Chochmah and Yireschet. Meanwhile, the Nossi and the Avestin would be in other groups. Because after all, you have three groups. I guess Marsha assumes that one of them would be in each group. Okay. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Ma'olam lo nismaich odem ba'azara. Nobody with all of the crowds that were in the Azara ever got crushed. Even though, as the Gemara is going to bring now in a minute, that there were many times there were enormous crowds of people there in the Azara, but still nobody ever got crushed. Chutz mi Pesach echad shehei b'nei Hillel, except for one Pesach in the times of Hillel, shebon yismayach zokin echad, where one old person did get crushed. V'hoi koronos the Pesach me'uchid. From then on, they called that the Pesach of the crushed. So to always remember what happened over there. So then, Tana Rabbanan, Pam Achas Bikesh Agrippa Samelach, Litinus Eidna Berchlusa Yisrael. One time Agrippa Samelach wanted to figure out how many Jews there are over there. There were actually two Agrippases. Which one this was is not so clear. There was a father and a son. In various places, it actually refers to him as having ruled right shortly before the Churban, which would be the second one, but so maybe it was him, maybe it was his father. Anyway, Omelet the Kohen Gadol. Now, we know you're not allowed to count Jews directly. Omelet the Kohen Gadol, ten enecha b'psachim. So he tells the Kohen Gadol, pay attention to the number of Korbanos Pesach, and from there we'll be able to get a good estimate. Not a kol yosem kol echad b'echad. So he took a kidney from each one. The kidneys of the Korban have to be offered on the Mizbeach. But first they would take one and set it aside and count it. The Gemara afterwards goes into some details about it. You can't just be mapped with all the emurim of all the korbanos together. Each one has to be done individually, and all the emurim are supposed to be offered together. So it can't be that they just made a whole pile of the kulyas and then afterwards burnt them all. You're not supposed to do that. So the Gemara ends up explaining that they just took each one and then counted it and then like put down something else, like a pebble or a coin or whatever to keep track. And eventually then they knew the number. The nimtzu samach ribo zugis kloyas. So they found altogether there were twice 600,000 kidneys, because after all, the kidneys in an animal come in pairs. So there were 1.2 million kidneys. Kiflaim kiyotzim etzayim. That makes it twice as many, or actually, there were 600,000 pairs of kloyas. So kiflaim kiyotzim etzayim. Altogether, then there were twice as many kidneys as there were the number of Jews who left Mitzrayim, 1.2 million. And that doesn't even include chutz mitomei, with the exception of the Jews who were tomei v'shahayi b'derech ha'chayka, who are far away and they can't bring the korban Pesach. Ve'ein l'chok ha'pesach ha'pesach sh'lenim lo'ol of yoysim ha'asor b'nei adam. Every single Pesach had at least 10 people registered for it. So altogether it comes out that year in Yerushalayim there were 12 million people. So from then on, they called that Pesach the Pesach of the thick crowds. So before you had Pesach Ma'uchin with a chop, here you have Pesach Ma'ubin with a base, that to always remember what an enormous crowd of Jews there was in Yerushalayim that Pesach. Derech Agav, when you think about it, nowadays, how many, that was in the times of the Beis Mikdash, which is almost 2,000 years ago. How many Jews are there in the world nowadays? 15, 16 million came here. So in 2,000 years, we've barely grown, and many times actually we shrunk quite a bit. This is, when we talk about what Golos has wrought on the Jewish people, there you have an example of it. I like to tell over in this connection, I've told it over in this shiur before, I think, Beryl Wine mentions in one of his books, he says, Lahavdil, the Chinese, there were about the same number of them at that time also based on their government statistics, but nowadays there are well over a billion of them, and there are a lot fewer of us. Eva Dvarim Perek Shishi. So the beginning of the Perek starts talking about some more dinim about bringing the Korban Pesach. In particular, much of the Perek focuses on the dinim of bringing the Korban Pesach when Erev Pesach comes out Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Halacha Zunis Alma Mibnei B'Seva. This halacha was not known, was concealed from Bnei B'Seva. So now the Bnei Bisera, they're not actually Nesiim at that point, really. So Marsha says that actually we find three Tanoim who are all Ben Bisera, the Yeshua Ben Bisera, the Shimon Ben Bisera, and the Yehuda Ben Bisera. So Marsha learns that it must be one of them was a Nasi. Obviously, you're not going to have three of them as Nesiim. But none of them knew the answer. Dodos HaRishonim explains that there were the circumstances at the time. He explains like this. You had Shmaya and Avtalion, we know, with Nasi and the Abbasian. After them, the next one we have is Hillel, and we're going to have Hillel here in the story becoming the Nasi. What happened? This time, after Shmaya and Avtalion had passed away, was a very dangerous time. In particular, Hurdus had become king, over Eretz Yisrael, under the protection of the Romans. And Hurdus, we know from all over, we know from Gemara, Zahavda, we know from Josephus' histories, was terribly cruel and paranoid, and anybody who even thought where it was going to cross him, then that was the end of that person. So therefore, they were afraid at the time to appoint a Nasi. Who knows? He might attract too much attention from Hurdus. Now, therefore, they had the Bnei Bisera sort of temporarily running things. You had the Sanhedrin. You had the Bnei Bisera sort of temporarily running things until they could find somebody who will make a good Nasi and who they can be sure will be safe from Hurdus. And eventually, as we're going to say, they found Hillel. In fact, so you have the Gemara elsewhere tells us that Hurdus became king 103 years before the Churban. A Gemara in Shabbos tells us that Hillel became Nasi 100 years before the Churban. So therefore, so it was 3 years after Hurdus had come to power that Hillel shows up when this story happens. Anyway, Shapama Haschal Yudalavius for Shabbos. One time the 14th of Nisan fell on Shabbos for Shachu v'layodur and Pesach Derchas Shabbos in Lab. They forgot whether Pesach is Derchas Shabbos or not. Now, how you forget such a thing? I mean, the Yerushalmi points out, the Yerushalmi has an expression, which on the surface it means it's impossible for years of Shvius that Pesach shouldn't come out on, that Erev Pesach shouldn't come out on Erev Shabbos. Mephoshim on the Yerushalmi say that, how does that fit? I mean, what's the point of the question then? And they amend the text of the Yerushalmi to say that what it means is you never have more than two Shmittis. You never go more than 14 years without Erev Pesach coming on Shabbos. In our law HaKavur, we have it can be up to 20 years, but back then the idea would be, according to that Girsa, that you would have maybe at most 14 years between one and the next. How is it possible? Nobody remembered from last time around. So the Yerushalmi says it was litin gedula lehillel. The Eibishter arranged that they would forget it in order that Hillel should receive this greatness that he ended up becoming Nasi as a result of the story. In the back of the Gemara Erchin, actually, there's a very interesting essay by one of the Gaonim from Poland, who lit 100-odd years ago. He wrote Yefei Naim, which you can find in the back of the Gemara, and a few other Sfarim. Anyway, he has a whole long cheshbon upholding the original wording of the Yerushalmi, and he explains Barichos, the way they ran the calendar in those days. We know it was Api Ariya, it wasn't Api Cheshbon like it is now, but it comes out, he makes a whole elaborate calculation there to show that in leap years, you would never have Erev Pesach come out on Shabbos. Nowadays it can, but back then he calculates that not. And since the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that they wouldn't make an Iber year wherever possible in Shemitah year or in the year after a Shemitah, only they would try, if possible, to make it the year before Shemitah, then what the Yerushalmi is saying is it's impossible that in a Shemitah year it should ever come out that Erev Pesach was on Shabbos, and yet the year that Hillel came to Eretz Yisrael, punkt, was a Shemitah year. How did it come out? Vashkocha Pratis, but that year they ended up with Erev Pesach on Shabbos, it was Litin Gdula Lehillel. Anyway, other than that, there's different other explanations. Maybe, of course, they knew, they could ask the oldsters, they could tell them that, 14 years ago or 20 years ago, however long ago it was, we did it. But the question would still be, should we darshan the psukim that way? Is that we need to know the source in the psukim. We need to know the source in the drasha of psukim that we can do it. And if not, then maybe we need to learn the psukim differently. And maybe we shouldn't be doing it. So anyway, so it's not so much they didn't know whether it's supposed to, whether it ever happened before, but is it solidly based on the halacha that we should do it? Rusan asked, "Klum yesh adam sheyedea in Pesach derech es Shabbos im lab." Is there anybody who knows this? Omru lahem, so they told them, Yesh echad olo, odem echad yesh olo mi Bavel. There's somebody who came to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, the Hillel HaBavli Shmoi. His name is Hillel HaBavli, Sheshimish Shnei Gdola Adar Shmai Vavtalyan. He had learned under, and not only learned, Shimish means they actually served them personally, and we know Gdola Shimusha Yosem Limuda. So he served Shmai and Avtalyan, the Adeya in Pesach Doicha Sheshabbos Im Lab. He'll know this kind of thing. Now the vort is, in other words, that, so Hillel at this point was 80 years old. The Medrash tells us he first came from many years earlier from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to learn by Shmaya and Avtalyan. In particular, the Medrash mentions a few questions in Halacha that he hadn't gotten answers from his Rebbeim in Bavel, and therefore he came to Eretz Yisrael to learn from them. Then later on, he went back to Bavel. That's when you have the famous story with him on, with him being very poor and being on the skylight and the 3 feet of snow, etc. Then he went back to Bavel. Now, many years later, he came back. Yon Yaakov points out, what's the point of mentioning Sha'olam, why is it important to mention Sha'olam Bavel? Because you have an expression in Gemara in Ksubas that says that when that even though the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael are greater than the Chachamim of Bavel, because I've read Eretz Yisrael Machkim, but when somebody from Bavel comes to Eretz Yisrael, he becomes as great as two Chachamim from Eretz Yisrael, because he has the advantage of the Torah that lives in Bavel, as well as the Avodah Eretz Yisrael Machkim. So therefore they're stressing, Hillel has come from Bavel, and therefore he's going to know more than any of us ever did. So they sent to call for him. So do you know? So he answers them, what are you even asking? What do you think? We only have one korban like the korban Pesach that every year that the Derech HaShabbos. We have well over 200 korbanos which are Derech HaShabbos, like the Korban Pesach, because every day you have two Tmidim, on Shabbos you also have two Musafim, you have 50 some Shabbosim every year, so automatically that gives you already 200, plus you have Pesach that comes out during, we have Shabbos during Pesach, Shabbos during Sukkot, and occasionally, of course, you can have other Yom Tovim that come out on Shabbos as well, and you bring the Korbanos and Musaf on them, so you have well over 200 Korbanos that are brought on Shabbos. Why do you think the Korban Pesach is any different? So they ask him, where do you know the scrum? Omalahem, because we have a Xera Shava. Nema b'moya deva Pesach, v'nema b'moya deva Tomid. By the Pesach, it says, v'yasu b'nei Yisrael, so posach b'moya deva. By the Korban Tomid, it says, to tishmiru l'achri v'li b'moya deva. So we have a Xera Shava. Ma moya deva omu b'tomid deva chesha Shabbos. So just like the Tomid overrides Shabbos, af moya deva omu Pesach deva chesha Shabbos. V'oi kavachoy mu. Furthermore, he says, there's a Kavachoyim. Actually, the Gemara, after this piece that the Gemara is quoting over here, the Gemara in the Halacha part of the Gemara, that's not named Yaakov, goes into a whole detailed analysis of what Hillel's telling them. The Gemara ends up saying that actually first he told them the following Kavachoyim, which we're going to say, then they pointed out the Kavachoyim can be slugged up. Then he brought them the Gzeira Shavah. And they showed that the Gzeira Shavah is maybe not so ironclad either. In fact, in Ovestad of Nussin, I think it says you have to use 7 of the 13 Midas Shatur and Dreshes Behem in order to prove the point to them. And even then, with all of his proofs, it ends up saying, as we're going to say over here, that ultimately he had to tell them that I learned it from Shmai and Avtalyan, and that's how it is. Anyway. So v'oid kavachoymahu u'ma tomid chain onush koris doichas Shabbos madach, you don't bring the korban tomid, there's no koris involved, and that overrides Shabbos Pesach shonush koris like kol shekhenu ain't it did doichas Shabbos, how much more so the korban Pesach. And again he went on with various other proofs and as the Gemara is saying, they ended up slogging him up on each one of them, but in the end he tells them that this is how I learned it from Shmai Avtalyan. So miyad hashivuhu barosh, right away they set him as the head, they made him, we know who Nasi Aleim, they appointed him the head of the Sanhedrin and the Nasi. As the Gemara mentions in Bava Metzia, you have to realize how rare this is. Usually a person has gedula, it's very difficult, it may be very difficult for them to accept a high position in the first place. Look at, for example, Shol, where Shmuel is anointing him as king and he's hiding out, and Nechba al Akelim, but then afterwards when he's king, then it's not so easy for him to give it up. When he finds out that he has a rival and has reason to suspect that it's David, but here the Gemara mentions you have the rare example, you have Yonas and Ben Shol and Bnei Vesera and also of Shimon Amiel, where all of them gave up Dula in this world and then received reward for a tremendous schar in Olam Haba. So they realize that he knows more than them, and therefore, so they appointed him as Nasi. So he's sitting and dowshing to them in Hilchos Pesach the whole rest of the day. But at one point he started to provoking them with words. Rashi says makanter and lashon tatav iksavim, like argumentative and upset words. He says, what caused it that I should be coming from Babel and becoming Nasi over you, of all people? You couldn't find anybody in Eretz Yisrael. It was the laziness in you. That you didn't serve and fully learn by Shmaya and Atalion, the two Gdolei Ador, like you were supposed to. Now, he's not saying it obviously out of gaiva, he's saying a number of the Mephoshim point out of it here. He's saying it on the contrary, out of anivos. He's saying, do you think I really deserve more than all the other chachamim of the Jewish people to be nasi? No, but you could have been of this caliber, except that lo shimashtim. But it sounded like a little bit of something improper for him to say like that. As the Gemara is going to go on, it sounds like a shtick gaiva and a shtick kass. So omruloi. So then later on, as he's explaining to them in Hilchos Pesach, they ask him, Rebbe, shochach b'lehevi sakin me'ed of Shabbos mahu. So what happens if a person forgets and doesn't bring a knife to shech this korban Pesach and he didn't bring one before Shabbos and he can't carry it on Shabbos? What does he do? I did learn this halacha, but I forgot it. Ella, but he says, Hanichu lahem l'Yisrael. Let the Jewish people alone. They themselves will figure it out. They themselves are not Nevi'im, because Nevuah was gone for 300 years by that time, but B'nei Nevi'im Heim, they're descendants of Nevi'im. Let's see what they'll do, and we'll be able to figure out from that. So again, you know, before your Dalad fell out on Shabbos, but it was a while. So we don't know. In fact, Ben Yehoyada points out, you know, it's one thing whether the Korban Pesach is brought on Shabbos. That's something, you know, you need to know. It's a yes or no question. When it comes to the matter of the knife being forgotten, conceivably, you know, it's not necessarily any time somebody forgets a knife. Well, maybe every previous time everybody remembered their knives. For that reason, he says you have to think of it. If before B'nai B'Seira said, you know, we need to resign as acting Nesi'im and appoint Hillel because he knows something we don't. Well, why didn't they say the same thing? When Hillel doesn't know this halacha, then maybe we should find another Nasi to replace him. And he says, for one thing, because this is only a theoretical, this could only be a theoretical question. It's not necessarily in practice it's going to happen. And he says also the fact that Hillel says Shemaiti b'Shachachti. Okay, he may remember again; it may jog his memory, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, as Taka happened, whereas B'nai B'Seira had never learned the halacha about Pesach, Dorcha Shabbos in the first place. And yeah. Anyway, so Lamochos. So sure enough, the next day on Erev Pesach itself, Misha Pischei Tleh. Anybody who brought a Korban Pesach as a sheep, Tochav Loi B'Tamrei. What he did is he took the knife and stuck it into the wool of the sheep. So that way the sheep is carrying the knife rather than he. Misha Pischei Gdi, and if he's bringing a goat, goats don't have thick enough wool to do that. Tochav Loi Ben Karnav, so he stuck it between the animal's horns. The Gemara goes on to mention that now you do have an Issur Shabbos of Mechamu, you're not allowed to have an animal carry a burden for you on Shabbos, so how does that help? The answer is, this is not the normal way of carrying, and therefore it's only also Dirabbanan, and therefore in a situation like this, then the Chachamim would be Matur. Raw mice of Nisra halacha. So now Hillel saw what the people were doing, and sure enough, he remembered the halacha of Amakach Mekablanim if he Shmaya and Atalion. Yes, this is what I learned from Shmaya and Atalion, that this is what a person should do if he forgot his knife. The Gemara mentions there's other issues with it as well. What about, for example, you're also not allowed to do avodah b'kodshim, and there's no difference between the usual way of doing the malacha and not. And the Gemara explains that you could have the people weren't yet makdish their animals until they brought them to the azara. And in fact, the Gemara mentions that Hillel himself used to do that in later times also. When he brought a korban, he would be makdish it only when he brought it to the azara. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol HaMisyaher, if a person becomes proud, and again, the way that Hillel expressed himself sounds like a little bit of pride, even though he didn't mean it as such at all, and in fact we know Hillel was of a tremendous anav, but the way he expressed himself, Im Chocham Hu Chochmosim Istalekes Mimenu, if he's a Chocham, then he loses his Chochma. And Maharshal says, that's what we see from the story, that he says, Shamayti v'shachachti, implying, I just forgot it right now. So right now, as right after he had said this, Atzal Shalit Sabachem, right away he forgot the halacha. V'im Navi hu nevu osim, istalekas mimenu, and if he's a Navi, then his nevuah goes away. Im chacham hu chachmasim, istalekas mimenu mehilol, drama ma'ar hischa makantin and medvarim, v'komalu halachas hu shamayti v'shachachti. First he speaks to them in this way, that sounds like a little bit of Yehirus, a little bit of Gaiva, and because of that he forgot the halacha. And the Novi who Nevoasim is Talakas Menu mid Devoda. We can learn that from what happened with Devoda. Dichtiv, in Shiras Devoda, which we read for the Aftara Parshas Bashalach, she says, Dichtiv, Chodlu Frozen Yisrael Chodelu, there ceased to be any open, unwalled cities among the Jewish people, because everybody was afraid of the enemies, so they all have to live in walled cities. Chodelu, it stopped that anybody would live in villages anymore. Ad Shakamti Devoda, until I, Devoda, arose, Shakamti in Yisrael, I arose as a mother among the Jewish people, which sounds, again, like a little bit gaivadik, like she's saying, she's putting down the leaders from before her time. She mentions, Vimei Shamga Mananas, Vimei Yoel, that there was all this danger, and now all of a sudden I came along. So, Uchtiv, and then a few seconds later, Uri, Uri, Devorah, Uri, Uri, Dabri, Shiv. She, wake up, Devorah, wake up, speak in song, meaning like she couldn't speak the words of Nebuah anymore, and she had to rearouse her Nebuah because it had gone away from her because of this Yehirus. Now, Shah points out also, you know, in that Pasuk, Ad Shakamti Devorah, she's not giving any credit to Baruch. Baruch, after all, is the one who led the 10,000 soldiers to fight against Sisera and his army. So therefore, so now she corrects that in this pasuk Uri Uri, where she finishes off Kum Baruch Ushavei Shevi Achaber Avinoyam. So she gives Baruch the credit that he deserves also. That's the next thing the Gemara is going to say about Kolam Shekoyis, but I think we'll leave that for next time. Yom Mashiach Ge'ula, Gimel Tishrei and Gedalia. So now you have opinions that Gedalia was killed on Rosh Hashanah itself, and because you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, because after all you have a mitzvah to eat and drink, then therefore the fast was pushed off to Gimel Tishrei. So that means, in other words, so it comes out, Sun Gedalia to begin with, then according to that way of looking at it, was to begin with made as a pushed off fast. Now we know we have the concept that the Gemara mentions. Given the idchi idchi, once the fast mentions that one time Tisha B'Av was pushed off to Asara because it came out on Shabbos, and Rebbe held given the idchi idchi, once it was pushed off, then that year it should be completely pushed off and then cease to exist. So Tzum Gedalia to begin with was made as a fast like that, which is pushed off from the date it should have been on, then that shows even much greater than a sinas koyach for the concept of uprooting the whole concept of this fast, the Yemos Mashiach, where we know that all these fasts that are connected with the Churban will all become batel and become yomim tovim mayim. Especially, we have that even more stressed when it comes specifically to the third of Tishrei, to Tzum Gedalia, where the third day of Tishrei has to do with the Geula Shlishis and the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. You have the pasuk, Yechayenu Miyemayim, Hashem will keep us alive during the 2 days, meaning the times of the first two Bate Mikdash, Vayem HaShlishi Nikimenu, or the two times actually means periods of Golus, Vayem HaShlishi on the third day, Yikimenu V'nichya Lepanav, Hashem will raise us up and will live before him, which means Mitzvah David explains on the pasuk that Hashem sends us a refuah from the two previous eras of Golus, and then Ve'ez HaShlishi, in the Geulah Asidah, Hashem will raise us up from that nefilah, the Nichya Lefanav Ad Olam, and will live before Hashem forever. And in fact, Maharsha on Rosh Hashanah, and on a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, where it talks about Tzum Gedalia, Maharsha explains over there exactly that Vayem HaShlishi Kimenu V'nichya Lefanav refers to the third of Tishrei Tzum Gedalia. So we're saying that now it's a fast day and it's a sad day, but it will become, we have it now, the Nesinas Koyach, that it will become a Yom Sasa Nesimcha. Amen. Yamash. We're beginning with a new year. We're also beginning a new section of Halachas in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the Halachas of Shabbos. Simon Ayin Beis in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Shabbos is the great sign and the great bris that Hashem gave us to know that Hashem created the world in 6 days and everything in the world and rested on the seventh day. This is a basic foundation of Emunah. And in fact, for that reason, Chazal said that Shabbos is counted equal to all the other mitzvahs, and that if a person keeps Shabbos properly, is as if he's Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, and if he's Mechal Shabbos, then the opposite is if he denies the whole Torah. We find the Pasuk in Ezra, or actually it's we have it in Nehemiah, because the Sefer was split up, where they say in the tefillah, Al Har Sinai Yaradta, they describe, the Levium describe in their tefillah that Hashem came down on Har Sinai and gave us the Torah, Batit and La'am for Torah and Mitzvahs, there's Shabbos Kodesh Hoidai to Lahem, so we see that they're putting Shabbos on an equal pedestal with all the other mitzvahs. This, by the way, this that we're calling it an ois, there's a famous vote from the Chofetz Chaim that says on it, sometimes you'll see a sewer that's closed, but okay, it doesn't mean the guy's out of business, just means he's on vacation or something. But if you see they take down the sign, then you know that's it, the stores are gone. So you say the same way, Shabbos is the ois, therefore, and if you see if it's taken down, then it means there's problems, and therefore we have to be extra careful with the cupboard and with the shmira of Shabbos. I'm going to cash out my talk on the spot for the Zakat Sisal, because I'm going to have a message and I'm going to have a message.